welcome to the Birdie of Bass podcast, episode 15. I'm Bass, and with me is Birdie.
Hello.
And in this episode, we're going to discuss the PlayStation 5 showcase that happened during the week and the follow-up events that have happened preceding it. Sony came out and announced a whole bunch of games, and at the end of it, they announced that the PlayStation 5 was going to be $499 US or $749 Australian, so the same price as an Xbox Series X, and the digital edition was $100 cheaper at $399 US or $599 Australian. And there's a release date of the 12th of November for the US, Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, and November the 19th is for the rest of the world. So I sort of get the impression that that Sony's got caught off guard by Microsoft releasing the Xbox stuff and the release date. It just seems strange that they're doing certain parts of the world a week earlier than everything else.
Well, it's not unheard of. The same thing happened with PlayStation 4 as well. But I don't remember them actually cutting out the entire of the United Kingdom.
Or the whole of Europe, pretty much.
Yeah. PlayStation 3 also had a staggered release, whereas Xbox One had a staggered release and it didn't go over very well, but Xbox 360 had a worldwide release and that went over extremely well and dominated practically its entire generation. So I'm not sure, like, during the week, even you said, like, maybe they just don't have the manufactured numbers to be able to do a worldwide release or any something like that with logistics, but it's weird.
They came out, I think it was today or overnight, and said that they did an apology tweet about the whole pre-orders debacle because I've seen a lot of people that were a lot of annoyed people that were like, well, why didn't I get a notification saying pre-orders were open and everything? Like, I think pre-orders started about 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I know, so that would have been 6 a.m. here. And I pre-ordered a digital edition at 7:30. And only to find out half an hour later that they had sold out of the full version, like the disc version. And then I think it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock, they'd sold out the whole actual day one release had gone in the space of 3 hours, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, you told me that you pre-ordered one and they were sold out before I even woken up that day, but I did have sleep in. No skin off my nose. It wasn't something I was really going to go for anyway.
Yeah, I went with the digital edition because I wanted the new Spider-Man because I really love the old Spider-Man. So, and I went with that saying because I just couldn't justify $150 for disc drive.
A lot. Like, I mean,
$150 is more than what Spider-Man's going to cost me. When you have a look at that, and I just, like, when they went through, like, I will go through the whole thing. We've got all these games that they've released out. They did, obviously, one thing they did do was do this PlayStation Plus collection, which is sort of, I guess, their take at doing Game Pass. And there's a few games in there that I really want to play that I haven't played that I know that I can get digitally. For the PS5, the only thing that worries me is the PS5 isn't a 1 terabyte internal storage. It's only 850 gig or something, I thought I've seen.
Yeah, and that's raw, so it's actually going to be less than that because of the operating system, of course. So raw, the Xbox Series consoles, I'm just going to call them Xbox. that's technically the name from Microsoft. So the Xboxes are all coming with 1 terabyte. The Xbox Series X is coming 1 terabyte. That's raw. So you won't obviously get 1 terabyte. You'll get like 900 odd gig, we'll say. Whereas it's going to be 500 for the Series S raw. So you end up with like 400 odd gig. I don't get why. Even when Mark Cerny came out with like the specifications with his really very in-depth discussion on the specs and how everything worked on the PS5, it was one of those big factors. Like, it had 825 gigabytes or something of storage, and I'm just like, okay, so you custom built your own type of hard drive that's faster than anything anyone's ever seen with bandwidth and everything like that, but you made it such a weird size.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Like, I've got a PS4 Pro, which I'm assuming is 1 terabyte.
Yes.
And I've got an external hard drive plugged into that because I've run out of space.
Yes. And you're not even a PlayStation player.
And I only play PlayStation exclusives on it. Exactly. Or use, like, download the PS Plus games and stuff like that, which I've gone through and deleted the ones that I don't really want on there. So I'm trying to realize, we're trying to work out why they went backwards in that side of thing. That's the only thing I don't get with the whole PlayStation thing, is why did you go backwards in storage when all the ones that you've got now are, unless there's some fancy new format they've got for doing their games where their games don't take up as much space.
No, different compression.
Yeah, on whether that's what they're doing or whatever, they can get away with it. I don't know, I guess, until we get the hands on it and see what a game is going to be.
So the problem I've got with that is, like, because we already know that Nintendo has their own compression rate for the Switch games, because if you look at like the cartridges and how much memory is on them, and the fact that they can fit like Breath of the Wild on it is ridiculous, because there are smaller games that you need to download most of the freaking game, even if you have the cartridge, because it just can't fit it from third party manufacturers can't fit it on there.
Yeah.
So even if they do have their own fancy compression or something in the code to allow games to be smaller than what they actually are on PlayStation 5 hardware, it's only going to work for those first party studios, because they're not going to give it out to Activision and that.
No. Yeah.
How you've got Cold War Alpha. How big's that download?
Actually, 27 gig.
That's fucking big for an alpha.
And that only gives you 5 levels. There's 2 in one mode and 3 in the other mode.
At the beginning of this generation, Call of Duty was coming out at 30-odd gig as the full game with the multiplayer, everything. That was like Call of Duty Ghosts. So the fact that they can only fit the alpha into 27 gigs is saying something.
The alpha's 27 gigs with no, and you're only running 5 maps, and you're not running a huge amount of guns to select from either. I think you've only got probably 3 maximum, sometimes only 2 in each gun category.
So what you're saying is, as a vertical slice, it's not massive on content, but obviously 5 maps, graphical fidelity, everything like that. I mean, plus the net code, that's going to be a big game. That's going to be as big as like Modern Warfare easily, I reckon.
Yeah, but like playing the alpha, going to that whole Call of Duty Cold War, which obviously PlayStation have still got some sort of deal with Activision to get it early.
Yeah, they just like the dick around.
Playing the alpha, like the Miami stage that's in there and the other stages that are in there, they're beautiful levels. Like the level of detail in them is phenomenal for a multiplayer thing. Like in the Miami one, you can go use the diving board and dive into the pool.
What's that, 4 gigabytes of code right there?
I don't know.
Of physics.
But it's got that kind of stuff to it. So, yeah, if it's 27 gig as it is now, that one's... Well, then what Modern Warfare is 200, isn't it, or something?
If you download everything, it's it's practically up there. Which is it's a big game. I mean, what's Modern Warfare got? It's got the
So Modern Warfare on an Xbox at the moment is 187 gig.
Right.
That's with campaign, multiplayer,
operations,
co-op, the whole lot on
and
there.
And Warzone. Right. So we already know that Black Ops is going to have, Cold War is going to have a campaign, it's going to have multiplayer. They've announced zombies plus Warzone's meant to be going over to it. So whether that's going to be a part of the download is, I don't know.
Well, when you go into the screen, load the alpha up, you've got the campaign, which is locked. Then you've got the multiplayer. Then you've got Warzone. And then you've got zombies.
Right.
The zombies is locked. Warzone, you click on that, it just takes you to the current, launches the current Warzone. And if you don't have it, it activates the download and downloads it for you.
Yeah, because you don't have it on PlayStation.
No. So it activated and started downloading. But we'll go through some of the games that were, or the list of games that were part of the showcase and then come back and talk about them. So we had Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man Miles Morales, one coming out. One that came out of nowhere was the Hogwarts Legacy. Then we got, obviously, Call of Duty. There was a whole thing on the Black Ops Cold War, and you got to see the first part of the campaign and everything. Resident Evil Village, Deathloop, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition, Oddworld Soulstorm, Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, Demon's Souls Remake, the old classic Fortnite Battle Royale is going to be upgraded and ready to go for PS5 on the day that it comes out. And then there's a God of War sequel coming out. I think it's Ragnarok. So... And then they announced, obviously, the PlayStation Plus collection coming to PS5, which is about half a dozen PS4 games that they're bringing over, which are pretty much exclusives to PS4. They're porting over to PS5.
Yes and no. Fallout 4's in there.
Yeah.
The PlayStation Plus collection, there's actually more to it than what I suspected. But what got me was the fact that they're actually allowing you to download them onto your console, not stream them like we've seen with PlayStation Now most of the time.
Yeah, they're probably realizing that most people are going to kick up a stink if they're only going to be able to stream them.
Well,
the quality's not going to be there. How are you going to really be able to push a PS5 if you're streaming a game? So I think that's probably why they made the call to download it.
The full list for PlayStation Plus collection has got God of War. Great game. Last of Us Remastered. It's going to a fucking third generation of consoles.
And I still haven't played that game yet.
Uncharted 4. Battlefield 1. I don't know why Battlefield 1, but okay. Monster Hunter World. Fallout 4. Great game. Final Fantasy 15. The Last Guardian. Ratchet and Clank. Infamous Second Son. Days Gone. Don't know why the fuck that's going there, in all honesty. Bloodborne, yeah. Detroit, yeah. Batman Arkham Knight, I don't know about that. Mortal Kombat X, when clearly Mortal Kombat 11 was much better, but still. Persona 5, Until Dawn, I can understand that. And Resident Evil 7, Biohazard.
It's not a bad collection to be putting across. I guess it gives people some games to play.
But I mean, they're not even exclusives, most of them.
Nah, but obviously they're what I think my only take on that is they wanted to make sure there was a lot more games out on day one because of the whole Xbox pushing Game Pass, that there's hundreds of games you can play on day one on your Xbox Series S or Series X.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I think it's a great list, and I'm glad that they've actually done something like this because especially with stuff like The Last of Us and games that should really continue going, even if it is a single player experience, like God of War is one of those games. It should be on PlayStation 8 remastered. Yeah. Like, that's how good that game is. And I haven't even played it all the way through. That's just me playing it at a demo kiosk at a conference when I was running a game store. And back then it was amazing.
Yeah, I've played the first, I think I've played about an hour, maybe 2 hours into it, and I really want to get back to it.
Mm.
The other thing is that they gave a bit of a game demo for the Spider-Man game, and that looks pretty good, the moves and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So I'm intrigued to see how that plays out, because the other Spider-Man on PS4 was really, really, really good.
I want to know why Spider-Man is not on this list.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have ported Spider-Man across to PS5 to complement the new one coming out, unless they want you to buy the new one, so that's why they're not doing it.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, it might still be compatible. Like, this isn't all the games that are backwards compatible, because there is still a big group of them that are, that you're just not going to get for free in the PlayStation Plus collection.
Yeah.
But I think it should personally be on the list. Like, the way they defined it was literally games that defined this generation. How the hell is Spider-Man not one of those games? It literally brought back the whole movie game genre, because before then it was dead. It made people buy PlayStations.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'd enjoyed it, even though it made me go and buy an Xbox controller that worked with the PlayStation. I just can't get my head around the PlayStation controller, even though that's like the first controller that second controller I ever used. My starting off when I started off on was Nintendo, so it's,
we can bring back the 64 controller, play COD on that.
Yeah, no. I like my thumbs. But there's, I guess, the Resident Evil Village is the take off, further evolving the Resident Evil series.
So they've picked Village and they've snuck a number 8 in the title there. It's definitely more of a survival horror game, like what the 7 was, and I don't think it's going as tripped out as what like the Evil Within is, or even Outlast, but it's not quite as grungy. It's still got that polish. I think it'll be a good game. If they make that in VR, I reckon it's going to trip out a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the other thing we haven't seen. We haven't seen much VR when it comes to PlayStation 5. Does the PS4 VR work with the PlayStation 5?
I'm sure they've said that it is.
Yeah, because from what I'm seeing, they have come out with the PS5, and then they've come out with a bucket load of accessories for it. Obviously, they've got the media remote, the HD camera. So
here we go.
I'm trying to work out why we need another camera for a PS5, but it's obviously so you can live stream yourself on Twitch and have your.
I think it's an upgrade on personally, but
it's only a 1080.
Yeah, but Sony has confirmed that the PlayStation 5 will be backwards compatible with the PlayStation VR headset.
So the headset's compatible, but not the games.
I'm guessing the games will be as well.
Or whatever games they decide to.
Yeah. There is a PlayStation blog post here. Answering questions on compatible PS4 peripherals and accessories. Okay, so which peripherals will work on PS5? Specialty peripherals such as officially licensed racing wheels, arcade sticks, and flight sticks. So people that are paying Elite Dangerous with the flight stick or something like that. Will work with PS5 games and supported PS4 games. So they'll work with both the games. The platinum and gold wireless headsets, as well as third-party headsets connected via USB or audio jack, will work with PS5. The headset companion app is not compatible with PS5. That thing was a piece of crap anyway, so who the hell cares? The DualShock 4 wireless controller and PlayStation officially licensed third-party ones, like from Hori or something like that, will work with the with supported PS4 games. So not with PS5 games.
Yeah, so PS5 games, you need the PS5 controller.
The PS Move motion controllers and the PlayStation VR aim controller will work with PSVR games on PS5.
Okay, so they're still compatible and coming through.
Will the PlayStation 4 camera be compatible? Yes, the PlayStation camera will be PS5 for playing supported PSVR titles. It will require a PlayStation camera adapter that has been provided at no additional cost to PSVR users. The details on how to get the adapter will be announced at a later date. So in other words, if you've got a VR and you want to use your camera, you have to, I'm guessing, give them your serial number of your VR headset to get this adapter, kind of like what happened with the Kinect.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. There's a lot of rumors going around that with all this extra processing power, which is completely true, they should make the apparently bringing out a new VR headset, like the PSVR 2 or some crap, whatever the hell they're going to call it, which I think would be great. Like, if it was higher fidelity and had a better field of view, it would sort out a lot of problems that people were having with motion sickness and stuff, and it would be a lot more fun to play.
Yeah, I loaded up Iron Man on VR the other day, and I played about half an hour of it, then I had to stop because it was just the whole, because anywhere you look sort of thing, you were looking, it was just, you could, the game looks beautiful, like in VR sort of thing, you're just like fully immersed in an Iron Man, stuff like that, but just flying around, going between, doing like a I don't know what you call it, a race in an Iron Man suit, was just, yeah, it gave, went the old vertigo started happening.
Yeah, and I've seen it, especially at conferences and stuff like that, where you get to see a lot of people playing VR at once. I've seen it put people on the floor, like trying not to vomit, and under a lap of Bathurst.
Oh.
So, because, I mean, that's what we used to do. A lot of store managers used to all go on to like a racing rig or something like that and say, okay, pick a track, we'll see who wins. Get to the Gran Turismo one with the PlayStation 5 VR. I pulled it off. I won, which was interesting because there was a few good drivers there, but the few good drivers were, one of them was actually laying back on the floor being given water. He didn't even make a half a lap in.
Yeah.
He was, yeah, about to vomit. So,
and there's a lot of people that can sit there and play, do lap after lap after lap with those VR headsets on, hooked up to computers and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm intrigued to see. Well, looking at the Hogwarts demo, that one actually does spark an interest, even though it did start a hell of a lot of stuff on social media.
Well, JK Rowling has no say in what's happening with the game. There's one thing we got to get out there, because apparently it's very important, because she's transphobic.
Yeah, I get all that sort of thing, but I don't get, like, albeit people saying, oh, boycott it because of her or stuff like that. What about the game developers? What about the people that have put all their time into doing this game, all to have it be a nice game which the person's had no influence in doing whatsoever, and they're getting told to boycott this game because of that?
Yeah, I know. It's caught up a big stir. Like, if you think about it, a lot of, like, Middle-earth games like Shadow of Mordor and stuff like that, Tolkien didn't have anything to do with that. Like, yeah. Honestly, she has no say in what's happening with the game. WB Games are the ones that have licensed it out, and she's not on the team. So it's actually some people with a good imagination. They've taken the source material and they've made it something of their own. Because I can guarantee if she had something to do with it, there would be some freaking character in it that you've got to play as. It would not be an RPG where you can make your own character.
Yeah. So I think, and the way it looks in the video and everything, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. I'm actually surprised because this was like leaked, what, almost 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Because of a shopping mall, that's what they call it, shopping mall demo thing. Like they were trying to get people into, from the, like just random customers to try out a game to see any feedback and stuff on it. And someone was smart enough to leak it because they realized what it actually was.
That's amazing what happens with that kind of stuff. I think that's why there's a lot more tighter rigmarole on a lot of things now.
Mm. Well, apparently it wasn't set up to be a Harry Potter game, but someone actually worked out that that's what it was going to be.
I reckon, looking at the video, looking at it being like a whole, being the MMO and everything else like that, there'll be a lot of people that will spark off them doing a whole community and doing a whole thing on there. I reckon it'll be good to see. Hopefully it does happen.
I mean, look at what's happened with Grand Theft Auto Online, especially with the PC player base having their own private servers, and it's just a role-playing server.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't follow their rules, you'll be booted from that server. I love watching those videos. They are absolutely hilarious. The same thing happens in Final Fantasy XIV, which is the MMO RPG one. Like, there's some amazing content coming out of them with like good content creators and people that have literally made it their home. It still happens in World of Warcraft. Why can't it happen in a Harry Potter game? That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just ticking those boxes to allow people to live out the stuff they want to live out.
Mm.
Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition, is that just them pushing that same game down the road for some more?
Yeah, they've added some stuff to it and some things and some other stuff, and then they just put more boobs in it, and then that's how it happens.
Yeah, well, the other part was like Oddworld. I remember that all the way back from buddy the old PlayStation 1 days and Abe's Odyssey. So that one actually, I'm intrigued to have a little bit of a go and see what that's like. We always knew that, I guess, God of War was going to get another one. It's just a matter of time, I think, because of the response that it got out of the previous game.
Like, from what they said about, like, the decision to have no DLC for God of War or anything like that, that's fair enough. Like, they had so much extra content that they wanted to put into this game, they could have made another game from it. And I'm glad they didn't kind of go down like what they're doing with Miles Morales and making kind of like a mini game that kind of could be a DLC, but it's its own game because it's just different enough and big enough that they're just making another full sequel.
Yeah, I don't like. I'm just waiting for the day when it gets to games like Spider-Man could be probably a prime example of it, where you make this core Spider-Man game that's come out. Yep, no worries. Then you got the Miles Morales coming out, and like you got these different stories coming out. I just don't get why they can't be, even if you don't want to class it as DLC so that they are another game and sort of thing, but have them all tie in to that back to the core game sort of thing.
Mm.
So that they're like the one game, but expanding it over the next 4 or 5 years sort of thing of it just being different parts of the game coming out to different stories.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways they could go about it, really, but I don't get it either, personally.
Oh, but I guess that was Sony's attempt or showing us what they've got coming out. Obviously, it did work because from what I'm seeing, PS5s are sold out pre-order-wise till next year, and even next year's allotment has even sold out for some places that they've just put a complete hold on. Mm. No more pre-orders.
I did see Sony tweeted out today that they will be trying to make more available for the end of the year and to keep checking with retailers for updates, which I think is, like, one, I'm glad they tweeted it out and apologized for the kerfuffle and everything like that. But the bad thing they did there was they said, keep in contact with your local retailers. All that's going to happen is all these game shops and that are going to get fucking constant phone calls for updates.
Yep.
And it shits you off because you can't get your job done.
Yeah, well, the other side of it is, I think, going on the amount of response that Sony did get out of these PlayStation 5 pre-orders and everything, that you'd think that they'd go, all right, no worries, have we just send production into 24/7, just start churning these things out as many as you get out as much time as possible.
Do you think the drought, like the shortage, is going to be as much as what it will last as long as what it did for the Switch?
I think it's going to come down to like components getting made, and depending on the components, the materials, like the rare earth materials and stuff like that needed to make the componentries, is where it's going to be coming into play. Like, in a bit of a off-candid thing here, you just see with Apple during the week when they've announced their new iPads and their new watches and everything else like that, they've emphasized the fact that most of their goods that they're using in these products is recycled from previously made products. So I don't know whether to get stuff out quicker, that's what they've done. So whether other manufacturers need to look at the fact of, can we start collecting other items and recycling these, or can we go see recycling mobs and saying, look, can you, how much of this product can you provide by recycling it through and then repurposing it into making consoles and stuff, instead of having to go just wait for the materials to come out naturally. So I don't know whether it's going to be a shortage in that, whether like getting the materials to make the components is where the shortage is, or it's just not sure. I know that there's just they're having a hell of a time logistically. They've even to the point where they're going to be air freighting consoles around the world to get them there in time. So you just don't know how the next 3 to 6 months is going to play out with them getting the resources they need, because obviously with Sony and Microsoft both releasing consoles, they're both fighting for those resources to get that stuff made.
Yeah, it's very true. Like, what's the date today? It's the 20th today of September. Literally in 2 days, this whole thing is going to happen again for Xbox.
Yep.
Except this time, everyone's got fair warning of the exact date and time in every region it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I've got the sneaking suspicion that Sony were caught off guard with Microsoft releasing either console, or not really the console pricing, but the release date and the doing the pre-orders and everything else like that. And then so Sony's rushed their pre-orders in last week to get in front of everyone.
So what you're thinking is, since they're coming, their console is coming out afterwards and they can't change that, they try to get pre-orders in first to get the money first, or the consumer first?
Or get in the consumer's mind first.
It's a difficult one.
But you've always got those loyal Sony customers that are always going to buy it anyway.
So it's going to be difficult. I also want to see the difference. There's a couple of metrics I want to see with this. I want to see how long it took for PlayStation 5 to completely sell out on pre-order compared to what Xbox Series whatever will. I also want to see how many more one or the other had up for pre-order.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest key, is stock allocation as to how quickly they sell out.
That's what I really want to see, is the differences in how many units each company has. And then I want to see how many pre-orders, like say PlayStation 5 pre-orders that have sold out until March next year, right? I want to see who sells out longer.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to know. That'd be very interesting to know who.
Long before I can get a Series X on a shelf, pretty much, or a PS5 on a shelf.
Yeah, I actually intrigued to see that. My biggest thing, I reckon, is going to be not how quickly you can get the consoles, it's how quickly you can get the accessories. How quickly can you get another controller? How quickly can you get charging cables, whatever other devices, accessories you need for these consoles. I'm intrigued to see how quickly the third party people get their accessories out and how much stock they're going to have of it.
Well, it seems that a lot of companies, like all the Astro stuff is compatible pretty much. Steel Series seems to be coming out with a lot of stuff that's backwards compatible type things, and a lot of the headsets especially seem to be all compatible already. So whether they just update a design and chuck a bigger price on it because they say it's made for PlayStation 5, I'm not sure. Even though it's exactly the same.
Yeah, just my thing is like with the fact that there might be a shortage on first party controllers.
Mm.
The ability there for third-party control mobs to bring in controllers, how quickly you're going to do it, how quickly you're going to see like Scuf bringing controllers in, or any of those other controller mobs bringing in their third-party controllers that are compatible.
I think Scuf might not work out as quickly as others will, since they actually use a proper PlayStation controller and modify it. So if they can't get the proper first-party controllers, I think they're kind of stuffed for a while.
Yep. So I guess the end of the day, we'll just see what happens. But that's all we've got time for our PlayStation 5 showcase. If you need to get hold of us, our email address is birdieandbasepodcast@essentialgamer.com.au. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter by searching Essential Gamer. On Instagram and Facebook, our is Essential Gamer AU, and Twitter, it's Essential Gamer AU. So if you see something interesting about the upcoming console releases, feel free to tag us so we can check it out. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.